All right, well, I guess I'll start. I'm David McQuillan. I'm just hanging out at home. So if you hear some TV in the background, it's because our computer is in shared, is in the lounge. So, yeah, that's me.
Yes, it's Graham Nixon here. I'm also at home. Hello, Derek.
Hi, I'm Carolyn. I'm in Balclutha at home, sitting at my table, just finished eating my tea.
Hi Derek, it's Veronique here. I'm calling in from Invercargill and I've just sent my husband and children upstairs so that they're not annoying me anymore.
And Bronwyn, as you know, Derek, and I'm looking forward to your session on Friday when you launch your Web2 packages. And yeah, I'm sitting at home, not at my desk. I'll just finish tea as well.
Okay, then I guess, I don't know who this is a question for. If I want to delete stuff off the screen, can I just hit that and clear it? Yes, I can do it. How do I get rid of the rest? I've just done it, I think. Are we ready to start then?
Yeah, just go for it, Derek. What I'll do is give you staff member privileges and then you've got a bit more, few more tools to use. So if you just want to make a start, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, don't confuse me too much with science. All right. In that case, we've got about 10 slides, which is about a minute per slide. So this is adding a community flavour to formal taught courses. Now, the context, I'm going to go over stuff an awful lot here. This is basically what I'm taking for granted. Can you see the slide, David? Okay, the slide, no. Okay. Okie doke. Lee, what's different about you? Is there a refresh button? What can you see, Lee? Okay, I guess the slides will appear. Look, this is the context, and I'm assuming an awful lot here. I'm assuming we're talking a little bit about a constructivist view on things. The fact that we're looking at a learner-centered kind of environment, the assessment is built in. It does exist. The teaching approach is a little more team-oriented, and if you're taking notes, I mean, one of the things that that does mean is you might invite in people as not quite as experts, but certainly as people who know a little bit about things. I would like to think we can aspire to a course where you can't pass it without collaboration. The jury is still out whether that's possible, but we give it a really, really good go. And I think the last thing is you couldn't do all this stuff without the web. Okay, now I'm going to kill this slide. It should have gone, and I'll put another one up. And can someone say it's there? Okay. It obviously takes a moment to download it to you. So basically, this is the biggest thing that we've found creates a sense of community. And that is to start with stories. Now, I'll give you a little case study. There's a bunch of people in an institution who are the telephonists, and there's four of them, and they're going on a workplace course. Start with stories about your best and your worst client. Now, I'll tell this. And another little comment. Communities basically are built around people. And Lee's right, this is an icebreaker. But it's the right kind of socializing. Don't waste any activities. I'll put one up there, an activity, just three words. Make a post in just three words. Now, have a go now. You make a little comment using just three words. Okay, now there's you'll notice a whole range of comments there. I like cake, I break ice, and suddenly you can't spell. That's a little personal bit of comment. So I would start right off from the beginning. I guess the technical term for it is meta communicate. You can't build community in a formal taught course without some intentionality and something behind the scenes. And so right from the beginning, I think it's important to reflect on the process and what's going on as well as the content. I don't know what Lee will think about this, but we're experimenting with giving three quite distinct levels of reflection. Blog, and that is, we'll give you a blog if you need one, or else you just supply the RSS. That's a little bit that's missing off the screen. The second level, which is an open journal, which is readable by all the course members only, a bit more private, a bit more closed. And finally, a closed journal where the only person who reads it is the lecturer. And the next one actually says managing content. Now, if you've taken taken any educational kind of course over the last few years, or you've learned about teaching strategies or anything, there are a whole range of teaching strategies that we can choose. In my opinion, some enhance community and others are neutral. Probably they're just there, they're a bit of time filled. Others disenhance community. Can I just have somebody say whether they can see this slide yet? Okay, great. I've got their share a problem. Now, in some respects, we're right back there to authentic, real, context-based learning. Sorry, Graham, it'll be there in a minute. It's very important in this, especially in many of the professional courses that we're dealing with, that we really firmly, right from the beginning, properly teach ethics and what you can and can't share. That's the whole reason why we use applications like Facebook, fostering the members of your course and their own identity, and this enables matchmaking and networking. So here's a principle. A community-oriented course needs to help create linkages and synergies. And I'm really sorry for these rather unusual, poorly formatted slides. I actually have no idea what my presentation is. I had to do it again with just a few bits and pieces. the next is a slide that gives in a diagrammatical form how we aspire to run some of our courses. If I take a pen and I put a little arrow here down at the bottom, this is where all the people, and I don't call them students, but this is where our participants arrive. And this is here along the time axis. Inside here, we have topic one and topic two. These are kind of like the core, the hard edge of bits. And somewhere around about here, we have our icebreaker. And so if I give a possible trajectory through this course, you come in, pass through the icebreaker, through topic one, you might sort of dippy-dippy around somewhere, and suddenly, off up here, out into the real world, and here we have an authentic self-designed activity that aligns with the course objectives and the assessment, and it may even have some others joining you from inside the course, or it may have some people joining you from outside the course. In some ways, Lee and Bronwyn and David, that's why I think this course is so cool. You got your hard edge little bits down here, but this is some open spaces where people from out there can come in and join you. Then you dive back down to here again for your closing and final activity. We usually refer to it as a party. Now that's kind of like a little hint of a community-based course. Now, I'll fill my... the last slide. If you start a course that aspires to be a community with stories and you build up some relationships, do some authentic activities and so on, then you finish with stories. I can't underestimate the power of stories to bring some synergy and so on. And that's the end. I see David's got a question. You can give an example of a closed activity or an open activity. I guess there's almost nothing that necessarily requires to be a closed activity. In one course, a woman did say she belonged to a very large multinational firm based in Auckland, and she wanted to bring in blogs. So we set up a closed place inside the forum, inside our course, where she could actually talk about her progress with these blogs. And then we opened up a public activity that was just about blogs. In other words, we've also worked with somebody from the IRD and somebody who's a clinical health educator. A lot of the conversations around setting up their activities was closed. Over and out.